Good morning. I'm so excited to have the honor and privilege of sharing the message with you today, and I'm so looking forward to it. But before we begin, we actually have a present for you. Are we ready? That I can't see behind. Well, you're ready, but I don't know. There we go. We're ready. Here they come. So they are, our ushers are about to pass out to you. See, here's the thing. You can't have fall without Edward's apple cider donuts. And so we just decided that we would bring apple cider donuts from Edward's Apple Orchard to you to bless you this morning. We're so excited about it. So as you're grabbing those, and you have to have some sort of spiritual connotation to it. It's this. I'm using trees as a part of my illustration. Apples grow on trees, and there's somewhere apples in your apple cider donut. How's that? Does that work? So we rationalized getting our apple cider donuts, but hopefully you enjoy those. But while they're passed out, could you please welcome with me our Rockford campus and Geneseo, our online campus, everybody's watching with us this morning. We're excited to have you with us. And in one hand, grab your donut. The other hand, grab your Bible, and let's hold them up in the air. And let's repeat after me. We're going to get our hearts and minds ready to receive from the Lord this morning. Ready? This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. 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 All right. Well, are you ready to get into the word with me this morning? Yes. Thank you. That's great. Today's message is entitled Solid. And it's been so much fun just putting this message together and even studying. And I really believe it's the message that the Lord has for the body of Christ, for all of us really in general. And he began to talk to me about it one afternoon. I was sitting in my office and I was staring out at the church's driveway out here. And there's this beautiful tree sitting out there. And I began to remember different scriptures throughout the Word of God that just kind of, the Lord talks about trees. And he even likens our walk with him to that of a tree. And there's one that I want to share with you quickly. So as we start, could you please open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. There we go. This one's going to be on the screen as well, just because I'm speaking this one out of the Amplified Version, so I wanted you to be able to see it as well, but you can follow along in your Bible too. It says this, "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit." And that scripture is such a wonderful, powerful depiction of who we are as believers. But I also love it because it's so neat. When you begin to look at nature and you begin to look at creation, God has given us such a wonderful picture of who he is, of his character, of his personality, of how he's made us to be when we begin to look at nature. And so today we are going to look at trees. Yay! All right. We're going to look at some trees and just some really neat depictions of just the way that God's created us. And just, I began to study trees, and it's just been really fun just kind of to look at it and just inspiring some things that we can learn from God's creation. Amen? All right. So the very first thing that we're going to look about, I have a diagram that they're about to put up on the screen here in just a second. So as they put it up, I'm going to read that scripture to you one more time, just so that we can get it in our hearts. It says, "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and that shall not see and fear when heat comes. But its leaves shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit." You know, it's interesting to me. Have you ever looked out during the storm out of your window in your house or wherever you've been, and you can see these trees blowing around in the wind? But have you ever wondered why it is that some of those trees fall, but then others stay put? Maybe I'm the only one. Has anybody ever wondered that? You begin to look and you think, why is it that some of these trees are falling, but the rest of these are standing strong? And I want to pose that question to us as believers too. Why is it that it seems like in the exact same environment, in the exact same storms that go on, some believers fall, but some can stay strong? And some are weak, and some are solid. What is it? What's the difference? Because we all come from the same DNA. We have the same creator. We have the same designer. So what's the difference? What is it that makes some of us as Christians more vulnerable, it may seem, to the elements and the environment around us, and then others can just stay solid and stand strong? So as I think about things like that. And so I began to look at trees. I felt like the Lord was just kind of directing my studying a little bit and just kind of pointing some things out. Because again, we can learn a lot about our creator by looking at his creation. And even Jesus used nature to teach us lots of things. And so this morning, we're going to go ahead and dig into that. So they put the illustration up there. Now, this is a fabulous diagram. I know it's very, very complex. It might be over some of our heads, but I just took a shot at it. So bear with me. We have this diagram, and at the very bottom of the diagram, you'll see that it has below the soil level or below the ground level. It's the first part of the tree is the roots of the tree. That's below the tree, and then it goes into the second part of the tree. The middle portion of the tree is the trunk, and then the very top of the tree is called the crown, and that is where all of the leaves and all of the branches are. And so we're going to kind of talk about each one of these three areas, and kind of it's going to be a fabulous journey. And so we're going to start with the roots. We're going to go from the bottom up, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the bottom part than I am on the other two, but it's on purpose. And I believe it's because the Lord really wants to teach us something. Okay, this morning. So are you ready? Yeah, look at you guys are with it. I think it's those donuts giving you a sugar high. Maybe that's something that needs to become a weekly thing around here. I don't know. I tell you what, last week you got chocolate. Why? How many of you were here? You remember the chocolate last week? It was not my idea. Many of you thought that was my illustration and my idea. Surprisingly not, that was my husband's. He came up with that all on his own. But I definitely benefited because I sat through all three services, and that was fabulous. I have no problem with that. And so in return, this week he's sitting through all three services for the apple cider donuts. So he's a happy guy. Okay. All right. So we're going to start with the roots. The roots are the part of a plant by which an object is attached to something else. They, in essence, are our anchors. The roots also draw minerals and other things to sustain life from whatever is around. They are the parts of the tree that go down into wherever it is planted and begin to pull whatever it needs from the soil that it's planted in to sustain its life. The roots are going to do their job. They're going to attach to and attempt to draw life-giving minerals from wherever they are planted. And all of us have roots. Every person has roots. You may think, hey, I'm not a tree. I don't have roots. But you have roots. The Bible even tells us that we are to stand, to live strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are planted in something. We have something. We are designed with parts of our life that are not seen. We have the seen parts and we have the unseen parts. And the parts of our life that are not necessarily seen, they're the parts that we use to anchor down deep into something. We all have roots. We have all spread our roots out into some area or something to anchor our lives into. You cannot look at any part of creation, any part of anything that God has created, and find any species or living organism of anything that is completely self-sufficient. Every single thing in creation, everything is dependent on something if it's just the environment that it's in for survival. Everybody is dependent on something. We all have roots, and our roots are going to do their job. They are going to anchor down in whatever they're planted in, and they're going to attempt to draw whatever they need from whatever they're planted in in order to give you life, in order to grow. They're going to dig down deep. So if we all have roots, we all have this thing in our life that makes us dig down deep into something to anchor our life in, it must be pretty important what our roots are anchored in. Right? Because your roots are going to do their job no matter where you put them. And so it's interesting. This is one fun fact that I learned about trees. And that's that different types, different species of trees are designed to flourish better in different types of soil. So you can't take tree A and put it in the soil designed for tree B and expect it to flourish at its highest capacity. It may flourish for a while, but it may not be as solid and strong as it was designed to be. But tree B, if you uproot tree B and put it in the soil prescribed for tree A, it's not going to be as strong. But if you were to put those trees in the soil that they were designed to be in, they have the highest chance of becoming and growing to the greatest capacity that they were designed to be because they're in the right soil. And do you know that every single human being, you are of what I like to call the God species. You were designed by God. So whether you like it or not, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, we were all created to be designed to be planted and rooted and grounded, what I call God's soil. And you cannot, whether you like it or not, you cannot ever grow to be or become the greatest or to your fullest potential that you want to be, everything that you are supposed to be. You cannot do it unless you're planted in the right soil. It's not going to happen. Why? Because the soil that you were designed to be put into has certain things in it that you require to develop and grow. If you plant in a different soil, that soil either has things in it that will react to what you are supposed to, do you know what I'm saying? They will counter react. Do you know what I'm talking about? They'll make it hard, or it's missing things that you need in that soil, vital things for you to grow and for you to be a solid believer. That soil is very important. Soil is the mixture of minerals, organic matter, gases, liquids, and it holds a myriad of other organisms that can support plant life. Soil is what the roots grab everything from for the life of that tree. Soil provides anchorage. It provides oxygen. It provides water. It provides temperature modification, which is for the trees that are blessed to live in the frozen tundra like where we are. When it's negative 25 degrees outside, then the soil helps, you know, kind of like become like thermal, you know, like, I don't know. I lost the word. I had it in the other two services and I forgot it now. But it just insulate. Thank you very much. That's what it is. It insulates the roots. It protects it from the environment. And then it also provides lots of nutrients. So the soil does a lot of different things that we need it to do. Soil is very, very important. And what is inside of the soil is eventually going to work its way up throughout the tree. So it's important that you plant the roots of your life in the soil that you were designed to plant in. Amen? Do you know that every tree started out as a seed. Every plant started out as a seed. Every tree started out as a seed. Our life starts out as a seed. We are God's seeds into this earth. Amen? To produce and to multiply and to grow and to advance the kingdom of God. We are supposed to be planted in his soil, and we are his seeds into this earth. And you know that there's a parable that Jesus taught. It's in Matthew chapter 13. It's a very famous one. It's a parable of the sower, and he was trying to help people understand something very, very important. And it's Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Version again, verses 3 through 8. Now, so it's not on the screen, so just listen with me, or you can follow along in your Bibles. And he told them many things in a parable. This is Jesus talking. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil. And at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. Seemingly sounds good. They quickly sprang up. But, here's the but, when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they dried up and withered away. They couldn't produce. They couldn't continue to grow and be what God called it to be because the soil wasn't the right soil. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. So again, maybe it landed in deep soil, but it landed in the wrong soil, soil that was not tended for it. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. I think Jesus was trying to help us understand that it's very important the kind of soil that you begin to plant your life in. See, the God kind of soil is this, and I try to make it very easy for us to understand. The God kind of soil is this. It's three things. One, it's the Word of God. Your Word of God is the basis for everything you do in life. It's that measuring stick that we've talked about in messages past. It's a thing that you guide and direct it guides your outlook on life. It helps your perspective. It aligns what you believe. It aligns your hope. It's what you put your trust in. It's what you put your faith in. It's what you line your entire life up against is the Word of God. And it's not just a book and it's not just empty words that you line your life up against too. Those words are very powerful and they have the ability to change your life. And they have the ability to change your situations and circumstances and the lives of other people. There is life-giving nutrients all throughout the soil of the Word of God. It is something that you should plant deep down in. And it was interesting. I was talking with Kevin in between the services this morning. He said, the soil's not the problem because the soil goes as deep. It's unlimited. How deep the soil is, it's the roots. You have the choice to dig the roots down as deep as you want them to go. The soil's not going to come up shallow. It never will. Your roots, it's how deep, how wide do you want to spread your roots in to the Word of God. So the Word of God's the very first component of the God soil that we're calling. The second thing is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, allowing Him to be a huge part of your life. The Bible calls Him your comforter. It calls Him your guide. He walks with you. He brings the super on your natural. When God's called you to do great things, there comes a limit to your ability to do something. And that's when God's super comes on your natural. And that's when you break through walls and you break through barriers and you break down darkness. And you just begin to see God show up and show out in ways that you know is impossible. You could have never done it. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. And not to mention some of the gifts that come with the Spirit of God. My goodness, just to have in your life, even speaking in tongues, what a huge blessing that is in our lives. But then the word of wisdom and word of knowledge and prophecy and discernment, all these things come with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know what? Again, the Holy Spirit in the soil, it's not the soil's shallow. The soil will never come up shallow. It's how much do you want to dive in? How much do you want to spread your roots out in your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And then the third component of the soil. So we have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, but then we also have Christian believers, relationships with people. See, God has designed us. He did not make us an island unto ourselves. Remember when I said just a few minutes ago that there's not one species out there that's created that can be completely self-sufficient. As a matter of fact, if you were to see a tree rooted in itself, first of all, you couldn't see a tree whose roots were in itself because it wouldn't be able to survive because in itself it doesn't have all the nutrients it needs. If that's the case, then it wouldn't need to bury its roots down into the soil to pull nutrients for the rest of the tree. It's impossible. So you can't see a tree rooted in itself. It has to be rooted into the soil and into other things. And God has made us relational on purpose. People He has called other believers for us to link arms with. Even Jesus had the 12 disciples he trained and they linked arms so they could go and get the mission accomplished. We are to link arms with other believers so that they can come alongside you. They can pray. They can stand with you. They can see things from a different perspective because here's the problem. Deception is so deceiving and sometimes we don't even realize that we're deceived or that we're walking in darkness and we think we're going in the right direction, but another believer can come alongside of us and they can pray with us. They can point it out in the Word of God and they can help us stay on track. They can help us stay in line. And sometimes when the battle or what you're going through just feels so heavy, you need somebody to come alongside of you and lift your arms and to help you be victorious and walk through this thing and see God overcome in your life. Amen? You are not meant to do this alone. You know, trees, very interesting. So I'm telling you, God is trying to speak to us and minister. Like, if you look at creation, what he created, he's always talking to us. But trees, the ones that are in forests, are so much stronger than the ones that are alone. The ones that are out on the lawn are much more vulnerable to the environment and things that come its way than the ones who are out in the forest. When you're in a forest, when you're in with people, when you're locking arms with people and you're deciding, look, we're going to do this together. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to partner with you. You're much less vulnerable to the wind and things that come. Because stuff comes, right? Life happens. Things in life happen that aren't fair. There's situations that happen. There's circumstances. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Sometimes things happen because it's just a result of the decisions that we've made. Sometimes the devil attacks. And it's like that wind that's blowing. It can be like a hurricane or whatever. You know, one of the ways that trees are uprooted, it was interesting to me to study this, it's something called wind throw. And one of the ways that trees are uprooted is that the wind comes along and it literally picks the tree up. So nothing on the tree breaks, but the roots and all are just completely uprooted and it lays it on its side. And it's done. But if that tree could have had its roots dug down deep and just spread out, when that wind spread out as far as it could get him and as deep as it could get him, because remember, the soil's not shallow. It's how far down do those roots go? How far out do those roots go, right? If that tree could have had its roots dug deep down into the soil and out as far as it could go, when that wind comes, man, that thing's not going to go down. It's not going to be able just to pick it up and to lay it on its side. Because when a tree falls, there's a whole lot of other collateral damage that typically goes with it, right? I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched a tree fall. We had a tree fall on our property this past April. And I got to be honest, I mean, it was a big tree, but I was more shocked at the other trees that it took down with it than I was by the actual damage of the tree that came down. Because it's not just about us anymore. It's about the people that you love. It's about the people around you, the people that God's put you in their lives. It's about all those people. It's about staying solid and strong and rooted to do all that God's called you to do as well and impact the lives of the people around you. Amen? Amen. That's what we're raising around here, are solid, firm, secure, steadfast believers who are not going to be blown around or wind thrown or uprooted, because you are God's, you have God's DNA on the inside of you. You are strong. You are courageous. You are not weak. I'm sick and tired of seeing weak Christians that are always being just breaking. That's not you. Stuff is stuff. I know stuff is crazy. I understand that life is tough. I do. I see it. And my heart breaks for people. But I want to help you that you don't have to break. You're not created or designed to break. The seed, your seed, in your seed, the design of your seed, there's nothing in it that's flawed. There's nothing inside of that original design that was designed to break. There's nothing in that that's designed for you to be built weak. So then what do we need to do? We need to make sure that seed's planted in the right place so that it, when it goes down into the soil, it gets the nutrients that it was designed to get so that it can grow to that to be exactly what it was created to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, God is so good. All right, I have another scripture for you. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, again in the Amplified. Can you tell I just really enjoy the Amplified right now? God just takes you through different seasons, and I'm loving this one. It says this: I say this in order that no one may mislead and delude you by plausible and persuasive and attractive arguments and beguiling speech. This is Paul talking. He says, for though I am away from you in body, yet I am with you in spirit, delighted at the sight of your standing shoulder to shoulder, again, that's Christian fellowship, in such orderly array, and the firmness and the solid front and steadfastness of your faith in Christ, that leaning of the entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Paul was excited because he saw these believers. They were rooting and grounding themselves in Christ, in their God soil. He was proud of them. He was excited to see them spreading out their roots because he knew then they were going to be solid, firm, sure-footed believers. He was excited. He was celebrating with them, which means he also knew the importance of it. He knew the importance of those Christian relationships. He knew the importance of them rooting and grounding themselves in the Word of God and in Christ, in the relationship with the Lord. He understood how important that would be. Amen? How awesome is that? All right. So now we're going to move up the tree a little bit. We started under the tree and we talked about the roots. And again, the roots are going to do their job. It just depends on where they're planted. And you want to make sure that what's giving you your life source, what's feeding your life is the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christian relationships. And it's not things like opinions or that the TV and the news are overriding in your life what the Word of God is saying in your life. Or that the voice of the doctors, you have to listen to it, but that it's not overriding the voice of the Word of God in your life. Or that other friends or other people or other whatever else it is that is competing to be your soil. There's always things competing to be your soil, competing for you to root and anchor down deep. But you have to use the Word of God, and you have to use that as a measuring stick to grow deep down into the Word of God. Because again, there will always be things competing to be your soil. So we're going to move up the tree, and we're going to move into the trunk. Now the trunk is interesting because it's that strong center. I mean, it's beautiful. I think of like the redwoods in California. Are they not gorgeous? I haven't been out there one-on-one to see them yet, but hopefully someday I'll get out there. But they're beautiful, these big, gorgeous trees, strong, solid wood. And those things are gorgeous. And those things just uphold, you know, like the environment and wind comes at them. But you know what's interesting about the trunk, too, is that it doesn't matter how amazing the soil is that those roots are planted in. All of a sudden, there are other external factors that begin to work on the trunk as well to try to weaken it. For example, fungus can begin to grow on the trunk, which as a side note, did you realize that mushrooms are fungus? I mean, I know that's obvious. I love mushrooms. My husband hates them. My husband says that they're the closest thing to athlete's foot that you will ever eat. And he's training my children to hate them as well. So all of you out there that love mushrooms, please help me at home and work on my husband this morning. Please just help me. I need to win this battle. But there's other things, there's other external factors that begin to attach itself to the root, like fungus, or there's disease, or there's bugs that begin to work their way, or eating termites, or just different things that just begin to eat away at the wood and begin to cause things. And you know what's interesting also is those things like fungus can attach itself to the trunk, and you don't notice anything. It's strong. That trunk is solid. It may take 5, 10, 15 years for any decay to become obvious. But over time, that fungus or the disease will begin to eat away at that trunk. And over time, it gets to a place where that trunk now, the integrity of the trunk has been compromised. It is no longer strong. It is no longer solid. And now all that has to happen is the right environment, the right wind coming and blowing and circling around them. And it doesn't even have to uproot it, because the tree's roots are planted nice and deep. All it has to do is blow hard enough and that whole thing breaks from the trunk down. Because there were things attached to it that were allowed to stay there that were not healthy for the tree. And you know, we as believers are the same thing. Throughout the Word of God, the Bible clearly talks to us about all kinds of things that if we allow to stay in our lives, can begin to eat away at our lives. For example, things like offense and anger and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, things that we get frustrated because it's some of the, we we get frustrated sometimes because we don't see the value in having to take care of these issues when they begin to attach themselves to us. But the Word of God is very clear that you cannot allow these things to stay in your life, because you may be the strongest Christian that has dug their roots deep down into the Word of God, and you're walking with the Holy Spirit, and you are just, man, you are with other believers and you're praying together, Bible studies, everything. And all of a sudden, somebody offends you. And so you pick up an offense and you don't deal with it and you leave it stay there. But you know what? For the longest time, you don't even see any difference in your walk with the Lord or in your ability to withstand situations and circumstances, because the devil will make sure that it takes a while. But after a while, those things begin to eat away at the integrity of your life and at the strength of your life. And after a while, they begin to decay pieces and parts of your life. So now it's made you so much more vulnerable and susceptible to the elements around you. That all it would take now is for some crisis or something that you have to face into, to stand up for, to fight, or you just, something's going on, and it can, now all of a sudden it has to do is just break, blow at you, and it breaks. It's so important that we do not allow things that the Bible clearly talks to us about to stay. It's not a little thing. It's not a little thing to compromise on what God's told us to do. Sometimes we don't even understand why God doesn't want us to wants or why he wants us to walk in love all the time, and why we have to forgive, because it doesn't always feel good. He never said it would feel good. He said, do it. Feelings will come later. Sometimes we don't always understand, you know, when you have children, there's things that you have to ask them to do that they don't always understand why. They don't even always agree with why. But you're like, listen, just trust me. You have to do this for you. Just trust me. You have to do this for you. And we got to get that out of our brains and stop acting like immature believers and needing to completely understand everything and giving God all of our excuses. Just do what he said. Because it's for your benefit. It is hard. It is painful. We have all the excuses in the book. We say, but God, but I don't understand. I don't want to. They don't deserve. I don't want to get through anger. I don't want to get through offense. I don't want to get through all this kind of stuff. A lot of us have so much stuff. But what's awesome about God is that he, you know, it's interesting with a tree gets to a place where that decay has come at it and gone and done so much damage that tree now is irreparable. It's not able to be repaired. But you know, with us, it's not the case. Because of Jesus, he is the God of restoration, and he will restore. He will make you better than new. He can come into places that have been infected and eaten away at, and just that fungus has really gotten in there, or the disease or whatever has gotten there. He can begin to restore. He can make it better than new. And he can, and you know what? You're not doing it on your own strength. It's the power of the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. He puts his super on your natural, but it does take a choice. It's his super on your natural, but you got to say yes. And you've got to make the decision to walk it. He's your helper. He said he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll come alongside of you. It's his grace that's covered it. It's his grace that's done it already anyway. But you have to say yes. And he can restore, and he can bring such beautiful health back to that tree and strength. So there's hope is never lost in the kingdom of God. Hope is never lost in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if you did it to yourself. It doesn't matter if you caused the decay. It doesn't matter what's happened. But all you have to do, he can make it better than new. All it does is takes a yes on our part. Amen? God is so faithful to us. Amen? Amen. Again, decay goes slowly, but over time, you will start to notice the effects that make it more susceptible to cracking and breakage. But we just got to pay attention. And you know what's so great about the Holy Spirit is that it's a journey that we're walking with the Lord. And so you don't have to be nervous. You just have to listen to him. And as he gently puts his finger on pieces of our lives, that's when you deal with it. You don't have to be condemned or thinking you're not perfect right now. You just have to listen to him. And as you walk with him, he will show you what it is that needs to be taken care of. He will point it out to you, but you've got to be listening. And when he says something, you got to be willing to do it. Amen? Amen. All right, so now we're going to move our way back up the tree to the last part of the tree now. We're going to talk about the crown. We've talked about the roots and the soil. We've talked about the trunk, and now we're going to look at the crown. And there's a scripture I want you to see. It's Matthew 7, verse 18. Again, the Amplified. Surprise, surprise. It says this: a good, healthy tree cannot bear bad or worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration. Now, it's interesting. Most of us would tend to look at the last part of that verse and kind of get to a place where we're under condemnation, thinking, oh my goodness, a bad tree, there's no way that it can ever produce good fruit. But I want you to look at the beginning of that verse. It says this: a good, healthy tree cannot bear bad or worthless fruit. Amen. That's a promise for us. A good, healthy tree cannot produce bad fruit. I cannot produce bad fruit when I'm rooted and grounded in my God's soil, when I am doing and walking with the Lord, growing, when I've sunken my roots deep down into who He is and what He's got for me. I don't have to worry about the fruit. I don't have to worry about producing the fruit. It's going to happen. I can't help but to produce fruit. That crown of the tree is what you get to see. You can tell the health of the tree by the crown of the tree. You can tell the health of the tree by the leaves it produces, the color that those leaves are, the health of the branches. You can tell the health of the tree by the fruits. But you know what? The tree doesn't focus on the fruit. It focuses on the soil. It focuses on maintaining a healthy tree, and then that just happens. Amen? You don't have to focus on all this up here. You focus on rooting and grounding yourself. And you know what happens with the fruit of the tree? That's where all the new seeds are produced. And they begin to drop, don't they? They begin to drop. And that's when you automatically remember that the kingdom of God works on seed time and harvest time. And we're all God's seeds into this earth. And as we grow and become who He's called us to do, that's how we multiply and continue to produce the kingdom of God. Those seeds drop into the lives of other people. And we begin to see the kingdom of God advanced. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. The other thing that I've noticed with trees, have you ever known, maybe this is really, I know it's incredibly deep, but the one thing that I've noticed with trees is that when you see them in the midst of a storm, they never stop being a tree. I know that's incredibly deep. But it's interesting to me. They never stop being a tree. The tree's never stopped getting its roots deeper into the soil. It's never stopped pulling from it. It's never stopped rooting and grounding itself. It's never stopped feeding on the environment around it and just growing and producing fruit. It just never stops. But you know what? So many Christians, it's interesting, believers, when things come, when the environment begins to act up, when the winds begin to blow, a lot of times, what do? Don't we? We pull back. Don't we? We begin to stop. We begin to second guess. We begin to question. We begin to say, did God really say? Did God really do this? I'm not so sure. We kind of become unwavering. We can begin to be an unstable. We begin to be unstable in our decisions and in what we believe God said and what we believe God told us to do. We begin to waver. And we begin to become, that confidence that was there begins to be pulled back into insecurity and fear. And we stop being who God's called us to be. We stop being who God's called us to be, but we were meant to always, always in the midst of wherever we were, in the midst of whatever situation, in the midst of whatever circumstance, you are not, in your DNA is, remember that perfect seed that you were created, this perfect seed. There's nothing about that seed that ever means that you someday are, for the seed of a tree, it's never meant someday it's a tree and someday it's not a tree. Like your DNA is not sometimes this solid believer that God has great plans for, and some days not. In your DNA is always a solid believer. I have a scripture I want to read to you, and it's this. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. I celebrate when I read that verse. I celebrate because then that tells me if the devil's got an attack on my life, it doesn't matter if it's that or if it's something that I, just whatever situations and circumstances get thrown at me. It doesn't matter because I am choosing now that I'm not going to quit, which means I'm going to have endurance and I'm going to allow myself to get stronger. I'm going to allow myself to have that, allow that stuff to have a perfect work in me so that I can be like that verse says, perfect and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. You know, the definition of the word endurance is this. Listen to this. It's not on the screen, so you have to listen. The ability to resist, to withstand, to recover from, and have immunity to trauma, wounds, or fatigue. It refers to an ability to keep going through a tough situation involving hardship, stress, or etc. That's endurance, the ability to keep going. And then the word immunity there, I love that endurance uses the immunity to those wounds and things like that, because it's not that when you're immune to something, it's not that what's attacking doesn't touch you. When something's immune, it means that it doesn't get on the inside to infect all of the healthy parts. So it doesn't mean that life and stuff doesn't come, that it's not hard or that it stinks, or that what you're going through doesn't hurt you a little bit. But what it does is you're not going to allow it to get on the inside and begin to infect the rest of your life. Because what's on the inside of you, greater is He that is on the inside of you than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and He's working on the inside of you, and He's healing and He's restoring, and you're not allowing that outside circumstances. Yes, it happens. Yes, it stinks. And yes, it's a journey to walk through some of this stuff sometimes, but it's not going to destroy me from the inside out. I'm not going to allow it to get into my physical body and get into my life and infect who I am. I'm going to run this race. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I know everybody's gone through stuff. I hear stories all the time. And there was one time in our lives, and some of you know our story a little bit, but I was pregnant with our twins, who are now 9 years old, and they're almost 10. Oh, my word. It's crazy. Time just goes by so fast. And it's flown by. And that pregnancy was just not the easiest thing in the world, by all means. And as a lot of times, if you've had twins, or that it can just be physically difficult. And my body just really wanted to have these babies. It just really, but far too early, just not healthy early. And so my doctor ended up having to put me on bed rest at home and it ended up being about 8 weeks. And if you know my personality, I am somebody that would just drives me nuts. I cannot handle being in one place at one time. I've got to be up. I've got to be out. I've got to be doing things. Now, after I've had 4 kids, I kind of look at myself and think, you are an idiot. Just take a couple days of bed rest, because girl, know what's coming. You know what I mean? Look what's coming. I've wisened up a little bit. But anyway, so it wasn't even so much the bed rest as it was things that were happening in my body that were trying to just mess this beautiful God plan up. And even in that, there were some things, you know, that happened. I mean, we thought in the beginning of my pregnancy that I had lost one of the two babies. And so I was on bed rest in the beginning of my pregnancy for that too. They couldn't, one of the heart rates was just almost gone. And so we went home and just prayed and just stood and just said, you know what, we're set our face forward and we're just going to believe God, and had people praying with us. And a couple weeks later, both heartbeats, which they tell you that little girl heartbeats in the womb are actually faster than boys, little baby boys, they tell you that. And both were so strong that they thought I had two girls. I had a boy and a girl. So it was just a miracle. But even in that bed rest, I remember just sitting there thinking, you know what? I don't care what situation, circumstance is coming right now. And it was a trying time, you know, in faith and just all kinds of stuff. But I said, you know what? I don't care what you're doing, but I am going to make myself stronger. And I'm going to dig into the Word of God. I'm going to dig into prayer. I'm going to dig into teaching tapes and CDs. And I'm going to come out on the other side of this so much stronger than when I went in. Because you know what's so fun about that? And this is a little feisty part of me. Is every time then that the devil attacks, and every time then that situations and circumstances come, you know, especially the devil when he attacks. I like it because his attack is that he wants to get you down. But when he attacks, when you set your face to a flint and determine that you're going to get stronger on the other side, he just lost twice. Because not only did he get you down, you came out stronger. And I like that. I like it. I like hanging around people that when they get up in the morning, how regrets they even stepped foot out of bed. Because they have a tenacity and a voraciousness about them that they know who they are in Christ, and they're solid, and they're going to see the kingdom of God advanced, and they're going to fulfill their full call, their full destiny, their full potential, and they're not weak, and they're not going to allow the fact that maybe they are going to get their roots deep into the soil because they understand that I need to get down as deep as far as I can. I'm going to draw as much as I can because I have a purpose. I have a plan. There is a mission for my life, and I will not be segued from that because something pulled me out of this whole thing. I am going to fulfill the call of God on my life. Nothing is going to take me out. I am going to be a solid, solid believer. Amen? Amen. And this whole message today is to talk to us as believers because we, again, we're sick. I get frustrated seeing weak Christians. Ones that fall easily, because again, that's not in your DNA, and there are things that you can do about it. There are things that you can do about it, and we need to raise an army. The army of God needs to be strong, and it needs to be solid, and it just needs to not be weak. Amen? And the definition of solid is this: thoroughly dependable, reliable, strong and well-made. When something is strong and well-made and it has quality to it, you notice the difference, right? You have furniture in your house, you can tell the difference between quality, right? Strong and well-made. Having a strong basis, good and dependable, good and able to be trusted to or provide what is needed, made firmly and well, reliable, no break or interruption. We are solid Christians. Amen? All right. So in conclusion this morning, I have a challenge that I'm issuing to all of you. Listen, I just said challenge. You should be excited about this challenge, right? I'm not going to make you, it's not the ice bucket challenge. You don't have to dump ice on your head. That gets you out easy. But I'm doing a challenge. And the whole goal of this challenge, I'm going to have Kevin coming up because he's helping me with this. But the whole goal of this challenge this morning is to help you as believers just begin thinking about what it is that you are anchoring your life to. And so this is a challenge. I challenge, how many of you are on social media? There's more of you than that. How many of you are on social media? Okay. Those of you that are on social media, I challenge you to this. I want you to go stand by it for fun. Just go stand by a tree. You can do one out here. You can do one at home. But by a tree, just because it helps us remember the message. It's just an illustration, kind of a fun little learning tool. But I want you to film yourself reciting a scripture that you can anchor your life on, or that you have anchored your life on, something that's made you solid. And then at the conclusion of that, I want you to tag three people to do the same in your challenge as well. Because I want to get us as Christians to start thinking and to start focusing on what anchors us. Amen? So it's just a fun way to do it. Can we have fun? Can we as Christians have fun? It's just something fun to do it. And so then also, those of us who aren't on social media, no worries, because you can do it as well. You don't have to post it on a video or tag somebody in it, but I want you to go home this week, and I want you to think about different scriptures, maybe one a day that you think about that anchor you, what you've built your life on, what you set your foundation on, where you've planted your roots on, and just make it a challenge that we take a look at what's anchoring what our lives are built upon. Amen? So I'm going to do the challenge with you here this morning. I don't have a tree. We tried to put a tree in the stage. It just really isn't going to work. So, I mean, this big thing and the lights, and they were just very concerned that this whole thing would go south very quick. So I decided that I'm going to do the challenge in here with you so that you can see what it looks like. And then in it, I'm going to challenge all of you to go out and do it at home and have some fun with it. Okay? Can we do this? All right. So he's going to turn it on. I'm going to grab my scripture right here. He's going to film me, and in the last service, he totally messed me up. Okay, you ready? You got it? Yeah, it was all your fault. Okay, All right. Hi, I'm Maria Kringle, and this is the Solid Challenge. And so I am going to read a scripture that has been a foundation for my life. And so it is this, Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is." You're doing it again. "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes." Oh, you're in trouble. "But its leaves shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit." Amen? All right, so now I challenge my wonderful husband. He gets to do it three times now. I get to challenge my wonderful husband and all of our wonderful staff and all of Life Church sitting out there to go ahead, and you get to post a video or a scripture that's made you solid, and then tag three other people to go along with you. Amen? All right, I'll do it. All right, so just wanted to have some fun with it. I challenge you to do it. I'm going to post my video this afternoon, and so you can see it and tag some fabulous people on there too, but you're all tagged, you're all challenged. I want you to take it serious that we start thinking about what we have planted our lives in. Amen? All right, would you stand with me, please, this morning? Did you enjoy that? God is so good. Amen. He's so faithful. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. Father, I thank you for this amazing group of believers. Father, we have such awesome Christians seated in this room that have so much potential. God, they have so much purpose. You have so many plans for every single one of their lives. God, and I thank you that we are going to see every single one of these believers fulfill and complete the mission that you've placed on their life. They're not going to be uprooted, and they're not going to be broken and fall over. But Lord, you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will see your church fulfill and complete the mission that you have placed on it. So Lord, I thank you that whatever area, Father, for those of us that have gotten our roots deep down into your God's soil, Lord, and I thank you that we're healthy. Lord, I thank you that today serves as an inspiration, God, and as a reminder of who you've called us to be. And God, for those of us that maybe need to dig our roots deeper into a little bit more of that soil, or maybe we need to kind of get some of that fungus, like that tree trunk, cleared off, God, that you've put your fingerprint on some things in our lives that we need to do. Lord, I pray that before we leave today, God, we would make that simple choice. Remember, it was that yes choice to you, that you would come alongside and help us, but God, that we would do it for the health. It's for our health, for the health of the life that you've called us to be, God, so that we can be all that you have called us to be. So Lord, I bless this house this morning in Jesus, to be solid Christians in Jesus' name. And now with every head bowed and every eye closed, we always take an opportunity every single service to give people an opportunity to give their life to the Lord, whether it be for the first time or whether they walked with the Lord at one point and then turned away and they're not in right relationship with the Lord today. And so we want to give you, if that's you this morning and you've either A, never given your life to Jesus, you've never asked to get committed to him that he would be your Lord and Savior, or if you did it one time and you walked away, you know, Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. All of us have messed up. None of us have lived perfect lives. And so somehow that had to be taken care of. And Jesus said he would do it for us, that he would take care of it. He paid for it. And you can have it so that we didn't have to go to hell, but he paid for it so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven and to have him helping us here on earth. And so we want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus this morning. And so if that's you this morning, I'm not going to call you up to the front, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're seating while everybody else has their heads bowed and their eyes closed. We're going to give you an opportunity. So if that's you and say, you know what, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to commit my life to him. I never have, or I want to recommit my life to him. Would you please just raise your hand? We want to pray with you. Awesome. There's a hand there. There's a hand there. Praise God. Anybody else? There's a hand back there. There's two back there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody? We'll wait for you. That's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, guys, that's so wonderful. All right, let's go ahead and we're going to pray with them so that they not know they're not by themselves. So just pray with me. And again, it's not the prayer itself that's anything special. It's your heart is what makes it special. So let's pray together. Say, dear Father, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know that I've sinned. I know I've walked away from you. Please forgive me. I ask that Jesus would be the Lord of my life, my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me new. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you just celebrate that with us this morning? People who gave their life to the Lord. That's awesome. That's awesome. If I could have, amen. Thank you. If I could have our altar teams come to the front, if you just raised your hand, in just a second, I'm going to dismiss. And on the other side of these cameras, there's that wall there, and it's our new decision area. And if you just raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, you want somebody to pray with you about that, to commit your life to the Lord, we'll have people back there, and we have some resources just for you. We want to help you out with that. Please let us give you a Bible, some other things, just to help you continue to start that whole process of putting your roots deep down in the God soil. We want to be a part of that. The rest of us, as everybody leaves, you're welcome to come up here, be a part of one of our altar workers. They'd love to come and pray with you about whatever it is that you might need prayer for. We're here for you. I'm going to go ahead and pray and dismiss. Father, I thank you for this amazing group of believers. Lord, we bless them. Father, I thank you that this is a week, God, that your favor surrounds them and everything they put their hand to is blessed and prospered. Lord, I thank you that you go before them, Lord, and that they have a wonderful, powerful week. And Lord, I pray that you continue to talk to them about being solid, faith-filled Christians, God, that you've created them to be. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful week.